Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know something is wrong, and it's time to stand up. You are listening to the John Age Show.
Trust no one. Trust no one. Trust no one.
You found it! You're here. You're headlong down the runaway train that is the Anomic Age, and I am your host, John Age. Happy to be back with you once again in the wee hours. The dark side of the AM. Full disclosure, it ain't dark side of the AM where I am, but I know it is somewhere. So wherever you may be, thank you for joining us today and tuning in and otherwise being a part of this humble program, the Anomic Age. Please check out AnomicAge.com if you've not already done so. Like all the likes. Subscribe to all the subscriptions. PayPal.me/AnomicAge, Patreon.com/AnomicAge as well. If you've not already done so, please consider becoming a patron. I'd love it. You can do it so easily. It's right there on the screen. Right there on the screen. You can become a patron right here. You can definitely donate right there. And oh, so much more if you are just so inclined to help us out around here just a little bit. That would be oh so nice. You got the free iPhone app, the free Android app, the subscribe by email link, and the free newsletter as well, which I encourage you to sign up for. So thanks for doing all that if you've already done so. If you hadn't, for shame on you. Just do it. You can become a patron for Good Night Nurse. I don't even know what the smallest amount is, like a dollar. So thanks to all those folks that are dollar patrons out there. And thank you all so much to those that are a little higher than that. Also, you can make the donation a one-time thing, or you can make it a regular time thing. Either way, I appreciate you. And please do like all the likes and subscribe to all the subscriptions. I believe the bugs are kind of worked out of the iPhone app. I pray and hope that they are. I believe that they're functioning better right now, but I wouldn't swear to it. Okie dokie. Title of tonight's episode is Why Christians Lose. And you see the sleeping young lady there on the screen. And I chose that image for a number of reasons. I chose that image because there are definitely sleeper cells that just seem to, oh my goodness, where'd they come from? Oh, I don't know. Where'd all these illegals come from? Oh, I don't know. Where'd all these incompatible with our United States of America Christian country come from? Oh, I don't know. So there's so many sort of double entendres in this. There's the, while everyone was collectively sleeping, we've been invaded, folks. Not like in Red Dawn where they were parachuting in, but the invasion's taking place in broad daylight right under our noses 8 days a week and twice on Sunday, but we've been too busy sleeping to figure it all out. So while we were sleeping, that's what happened, folks. The great John B. Wells used to say something to the effect of, a comfortable chair doesn't make you more fit. And when I really look at it and look at the screen there, you know, so much in our life now is predicated on comfort. Are we in a comfortable chair? Are we in a comfortable car? Is our airline seat comfortable? Is the bus seat comfortable? Is the bed comfortable? Is the pillow comfortable? Good night, nurse. We got 10 different pillows and shams and blankets and pads and everything else you can think of to make the sleep experience more comfortable. As if that's just how we're supposed to be in this perpetual state of bliss and comfort. And I think that is part of the frickin' problem, folks. Everybody's too fat and happy, as my grandfather used to say. Everybody's too fat and happy. They got whatever food they want, whenever they want it. They've got the most creature comforts known to man at their disposal. Heck, even the bums here in the United States are living better than most in other parts of the world. So all that comfort has brought us where we are today. So while we've been sleeping, the border's been wide open. We've let every despot, culture, and country known to man just come right on in, set up shop, and do everything but integrate. Keep their language, keep their flag, keep their culture. I'm not really sure what they are taking of the American culture except for the American freebies. That's about it. All the other stuff, they left at the door. They brought all the immorality, all the incompatibility in with them. And as long as they're getting a check, I guess that's just fine and dandy. And I guess it is because we've been sleeping and not doing boo about it. So back to the title of tonight's episode, Why Christians Lose. There's so much to this, I don't know if we can possibly unpack it in this short segment. But, let's put this on the screen, because I think, you know, a picture sometimes can speak a thousand words. So let's go to the footage, if you will. Let's see. We can get this out of here and that out of here. I think we can bring this right up on in here. And this is video from about a week ago showing just that. And this is in jolly old England, is the footage we're seeing here. All right, folks, I think you get the picture there. I really do. So this has been going on for about 2.5 weeks, I guess, ever since the old, the spooky bombing and so forth in Israel. So what's up, folks, is that Christians will not unify. It's funny because the Muslims will unify. I mean, of course, they can have their differences. And of course, there's the Shiites and the Sunnis and, you know, all sects in between that are always going to be contrary to each other. But at the end of the day, they unify amongst Muslims. They unify amongst those of their own faith. True. But you just don't see that with Christians now, do you? You see, as soon as this whole thing popped off, this false flag popped off there in Israel, it was all too easy because, oh my goodness, we got an attack. Rend garments, gnash teeth. But now, the sleeper cells. Image again, folks. The sleeper cells. Magically, they have sleeper cells all over the globe. And magically, they just happen to unify at the same time. Around their common faith, take to the streets, taking up arms, protesting. Every state, every capital, all across the globe, we're seeing this. little hyperbole, perhaps not every single state or every single capital, but we're seeing this at large, folks. And the problem is they, the Muslim faith, does this. Christians do not. We've had abortion since Roe versus Wade. We're talking early 70s there, folks. Did we see anything akin to what we've seen now by the Christians? No, we did not. Here where I live, once a year, I believe, there used to be a weekend. I believe it was a Saturday. There'd be a huge people line in the streets for several miles protesting abortion. That's nice. That's good. And I'm proud of them, and they're doing better than I am. But we didn't see anything like we've seen with these protests all over the globe, now did we? Because the Muslims unify around faith. Christians don't. Just a fact, Jack. We got Christians arguing and bickering over Protestants, Presbyterians, Catholics, Baptists, and the like. They're all bickering back and forth, and nobody's going to step up and unify because they're too busy backstabbing, I guess. Or perhaps they're just too lazy. Is this too accurate for you? Is this too lazy, too asleep at the wheel to unify and stand up for Christ? Is that what's up? Must be. Because the Muslims do it, but not us. But wait, there's more. Another big old problem is that the Muslims follow their faith. They know their faith. They unify and rally around their faith. They don't backslide. I'm speaking broadly here. I'm saying they, when I'm sure Muslims do backslide, don't get me wrong. But as a rule, they are unified around the faith. They don't put up with the foolishness that the quote-unquote Christians do. The weakness is what I see it, that the Christians do. So the Christian faith seems all too happy to just let everybody in. Sure, come on in, which is by the book what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to embrace the sinner, got it? But not the sin. Therein lies the problem. Because Christians are afraid to teach out of their own Bible, folks. They're afraid to say this part or that part of the Bible because it might offend somebody. It might hurt somebody's feelings. You see the Muslim faith doing that? Not a chance. And we've carried that over into conservatism because we're afraid to say this is a sin. This is immoral. We're all too willing to make excuses. Well, I've got a friend that's gay. I've got an uncle, an aunt, a cousin. I've got a neighbor, whatever. So I can't say that that's a sin and that is immoral. Just the facts. Just the facts, folks. Okay? I'm not here to hurt anybody's feelings or stroke anybody's ego. I'm here to sell you the book. The book that needs no salesman, folks, the Holy Bible. Because the Bible says, yeah, it's a sin, all right. But we're afraid to say that, aren't we? Therein lies the problem again. Muslims aren't afraid to say that. No, they're not. And it trickles on down the line because everybody's probably had that friend that's doing some sort of sin. The bold face type, folks. Maybe they're cheating on their spouse. Maybe they're gambling. Maybe they're visiting prostitutes. Maybe they're just cheating at the job and embezzling money and this, that, and the other. So again, love the sin or hate the sin, but I don't see a heck of a lot of Christians doing that, folks. The old iron sharpens iron adage from the Bible yet again calls us to sharpen each other. It does not call us to just go along to get along and say, oh, well, I guess Bob's having hard times, so it makes perfect sense that he's a belligerent drunk and slaps his kids and wife around. Well, you know, he's having hard times. That's not really what that iron sharpens iron means, folks. That's not it at all. That's as Christians, if we eat each other and we see each other sinning, we're supposed to actually call each other out on it. That's just the facts, Jack. Muslim faith, they do it. Christians, we don't. All kinds of backsliding, all kinds of excuse making, all kinds of wringing hands and gnashing of teeth, but nobody's putting their money where their mouth is. That's why we lose. And we want to rewrite history and think, oh, it's always been this peace-loving, kumbaya, let's not judge each other, turn the other cheek, religion of peace, love, and understanding. Well, that's just not how it's been, folks. Everyone wants to look at the Templars ridding Europe of the Muslims as being dastardly and horrible. And I suppose, by accounts, it was pretty bloody. But they were just doing that whole eye for an eye thing, actually, folks. I mean, it took hundreds of years to rid Spain from the Muslim invasion. And they didn't do it playing patty cake. They didn't do it by asking real nicely. They didn't do it by just, come on, man. Come on and just leave Spain, all right, bruh? We're just Christians. We're playing hacky sack with our little Jesus sandals on, man. No, that wasn't how it was done, folks. It just wasn't. So as we're seeing, all Western countries invaded now, we're going with the kumbaya hippie method. And no, I am not suggesting we go out there and wage a holy war of the likes that we saw a la the Templars. But I am saying you should at least hold your culture to be the preeminent culture in your country. You see, when Christians go to the Middle East, the Middle East doesn't bend to the Christians. In contrast, when all despots of the globe and or universe come to Christian nations, we bend over backwards, sideways, and into some sort of matrix pretzel to be kind, loving, and understanding, man. And newsflash, that's just not how the real world works, folks. That's how the made-up, make-believe world that we've try to create works. So once again, I'm not calling for violence, but I'm saying you should hold your own cultural standards as your own cultural standards. That's just the facts, Jack. But we don't do that anymore. We don't do that with our own people, and we certainly don't do that with outsiders. And let me clarify, our own people, I'm saying the American people, and the outsiders, I would clarify and state as those that are of non-American culture coming in to our American culture. We don't hold any of those truths here in the United States. We just don't. We say, okay, speak your own language, have your own customs, do your own thing. That's just fine. Do whatever you want to do. And in my humble opinion, as long as you're not stepping on somebody's toes, do that. But at the end of the day, you shouldn't ask for special privileges, special reparations, special customs just for you. You know, that's just not how it works, folks. That's just not how it works at all. Or that's not how it's actually supposed to work, you know. As you come into a new nation and you adopt that country as your own, then you adopt that culture and that country's customs, beliefs, practices, languages, norms, mores, etc., so forth and so on. But not here in Land of the Sheep, Home of the Slave. We say, come on in. Bring all the bad stuff. We'll just give you money. How's that sound? That makes sense to anybody on any scale ever. I didn't think so. But wait, there's oh so much more. Another reason that Christians always lose is because we seem far more interested. I can't call it anything but virtue signaling. Because I've been around this a time or 12. And it's kind of funny because it really does parallel the cult of academia. Because in the cult of academia, everybody is all too happy to let you know how smart they are. Oh, this degree came from here, and my postdoctoral came from there, and my undergrad came from there. That's the sort of arrogant garbage that just proliferates, permeates, and stinks up the joint in the cult of academia. So you would think, as Christians setting ourselves apart from the world, that would be different within the Christian faith. But it's not. It's really not, because there's the whole other end of the spectrum within Christendom that I've encountered quite a bit, where it's the people that want to virtue signal in Christendom. They know all the languages. They have every version of the Bible. They can tell you the Greek, the Roman, the whatever version, you know, it is. They can tell you the six different languages, the origins, the root words, and what it really means to them. That's great. But then there's the actual relationship with God. There's that Christ shining himself upon you and having that personal relationship that Christendom brings that the other religions don't. You don't have to go through an intermediary. You don't have to go to a witch doctor. You don't have to hope for your 70 virgins at the end of it all. No, that's not how Christendom works. And that is, in fact, what sets Christianity apart from the rest. It's the personal relationship with God that you're building. It's the prayer. It is the reading of the Bible. But it's that relationship that you are forming with Christ that sets you apart. It doesn't matter the six different languages you speak. It doesn't matter the Greek version, the Roman version, the Latin version. You know, all that is really cute, and I guess it's impressive to some people. I guess it has to be. That's why people always want to tell you about it. You know, well, did you know this version really means this, and this translation really means that, and this actually means this? I mean, that's just cute, I guess. And I'm not knocking people that are intelligent and know all that, because I will fully admit I am not. But I think the problem is when that ego gets in the way and when the virtue signaling starts to play. Because it's really about the relationship with Christ. Not about the six languages you know, not about the version that you're reading. It's really how you're living your life as a follower of Christ. And believe it or not, Christ did not call us to just sit by and fall over like a fainting goat here every time sin comes our way. No. That's not what it calls for at all. Doesn't call for violence, but it definitely does not call you to sit by and wait for the great rapture. Just wait to get raptured out, man. Doesn't call you to just keep tolerating sin. If it did, we wouldn't be called to set ourselves apart. We'd be called to just wallow in the muck and the mire and be a part of the world. Again, this is why Christians lose. We don't unify. We don't really walk the walk and talk the talk, and we're afraid to offend people. We just throw by the wayside that whole iron sharpens iron thing. Forget about that. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We better not speak of this passage of the Bible. Oh my goodness gracious, sakes alive. And the last but certainly not least that I find hilarious and why Christians always lose is that I've seen more quote-unquote Christians come out, wring their hands, gnash their teeth, and speak up for Israel and the Jewish faith than they ever have Christendom and the Christian faith. Just facts. Do with them what you will. All over social media, everywhere, is all these Christians just having a fit over Israel. Oh my gosh, the Jews, the Jews, the Jews, the Jews, the Jews. Yeah, got it. We're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves, no matter what culture, no matter what religion. You're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. You're not supposed to just spit upon, defecate upon, urinate upon, or otherwise kill anyone. Got it. But I'll say it again. I've seen a whole lot more quote-unquote Christians coming out, freaking out over Israel and the Jews in this debacle than they ever have the United States and Christianity. I mean, do what you will, I just find it a bit ironic. If the same happened here in Land of the Sheep, Home of the Slave, do you think we would see those same Christians freaking out? Would we see Israelis freaking out over what happened in Land of the Sheep, Home of the Slave? I don't know. All I can do is use history as a measuring stick here and say that when we saw the false flag of 9/11, we did not see that. Nope. We didn't see Christians en masse just freaking out. Oh, Christendom, United States is under attack, under Christ. You know, no. And we certainly didn't see Israel coming to our aid and just freaking out. Oh, my goodness, the poor Christians in the United States. Oh, my gracious goodness, they've been attacked. It is a bit strange now, isn't it? United States gets to be global policemen. We get to send money, aid, and relief, and otherwise U.S. dollars all over the world at the drop of a hat if there's so much as a passing of gas in a woodpile somewhere in the world. We're there with arms and aid and American money. But anything happens here and landed a sheep home with a slave, you know, it's kind of like that friend. You always got this friend you're lending money to, and oh my goodness, once upon a time, you're going to need help too. Where will that friend be for you? I'm not coming up with any grand assessment nor assumptions. I'm just asking the questions here. As that old Dead Kennedy song goes, I'm not telling you, I'm asking you, where do you draw the line? And I guess the jury is still out, because as the world burns, the Christians seem to be doing exactly what they've always been doing in this matter. And I say always by just saying always in the more modern parlance of the more 100 years or so. Perhaps they've always not done that, but at least in the last 100 years or so, it's still the infighting, it's still the gnashing of teeth and pointing of fingers and hoping for a great beam us out, Scotty moment. Instead of getting our hands dirty, doing the work and actually saying, hey, let's unify as Christians. Let's unify as Americans. Let's put our money where our mouth is. Saying enough's enough of all this invasion. Enough's enough of all this pushing your culture in our culture. Enough. You want to fight for Palestine? Here's a plane ticket. You want to fight for Israel? Happy trails. If you don't, then shut up. That's where I see it. Everybody's all too happy to give their 2 cents and tell us what they're going to do and we're going to do and should have done. That Monday morning quarterback routine gets a little trite now, doesn't it? Just in time, though, because don't worry. I mean, they're already talking about a draft, right? They're going to have a draft again soon, I hope. Oh, great. So then we can have more innocent people fighting bankers' wars while these global satanic death cult boobs just sit by and laugh, I suppose. But back to the point, folks, you do have to ask yourselves, where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line? I cannot answer that, only ask. I know where I draw the line, and I'll just leave it at that. But we've all got to figure it out. And I'm not one for joining some big mass, because we all know how that goes, January 6th. But unifying as Christians, I think, it should be pretty easy. As with any organization, you've got to weed out the intel and government operative aspect of it. But those black robe regiments were quite real. The founding of this country happened because Christians unified. The ending of slavery happened because Christians unified. So it has been done before. I guess the bigger question is, shall it be done again, or are we all too asleep? You can't do everything, but you can do something. Be safe out there. I'll be seeing you sooner than later in the Anomic Age.
Thank you for listening to The Anomic Age, a John Age project. For past shows, further info, and to comment, go to AnomicAge.com. That's AnomicAge.com. Till next time, thank you for listening to The Anomic Age.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget.
Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.